Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara is now going to discuss, based on what we just saw in the previous sugya, which is that Rav Nachman said, when one cannot take the modem mixat, the shvua modem mixat, because he's a kofer bakol, in that instance, when he is a kofer bakol, he takes a shvua teseit instead of that. The Gemara wants to know now, if shvua teseit, which Rav Nachman mentions over here, is a shvua derabanan, and modem mixat is a shvua deoraita, is there any difference between a shvua derabanan and a shvua deraita? The Gemara in other places, the Gemara in Ketubot mentions in an instance where one of the Amorim said if he was smart, he could make this type of claim and that would bring him to a shvua deraita, meaning that it would change it from a shvua derabanan to a shvua deraita. The question is, what's the benefit of moving from shvua derabanan to shvua deraita? And that's what the Gemara asks over here. It's a third line down on Mem Aleph and Aleph. Ma'ika ben shvua deraita to shvua derabanan. What's the difference between a shvua deraita, modem mixat, and shvua derabanan of Shvuat HaEseit? So what first attempt the Gemara makes at differentiating is mipach shvua, the ability to force the shvua on the other party. As Rashi says over here, mipach shvua, we're going to see later on in the Gemara, there's another way or methodology to have the shvua flipped. But in this case, the Tovea comes, and the Nidva says to him, Letovea, hashbe bitol, take a shvua and you can have your money. Meaning that generally, shvod midoraita, or you take a shvua and you are patur. So the individual comes to the Toveya, the claimant comes to the defendant and says, please pay me the money. The defendant goes ahead and says to him, you know what, just take a shvua and you can have your money. I'm not, no questions asked, you just take the shvua. Is he allowed to do this? Is he allowed to flip the shvua on the other party? So that's what the Gemara says over here. Well, ikbenau mipach shvua, bidoraita loma pchinen shvua. If you're obligated min haTorah to take a shvua, you can't then flip that shvua onto the other party. I mean that if you're the defendant and you take the shvua to be patur, you can't flip that shvua onto the claimant and say, you take the shvua and claim. Bidrabanon, on the other hand, when it comes to shvua derabanon mi'apchinan, there we do allow you to flip the shvua because it's a takana derabanon for the benefit of the parties. So therefore we say, if he doesn't want that benefit, he wants to shift the benefit to the claimant, we say, then let the claimant take the shvua. There is a large discussion in the Ge'onim, it will relate a little bit to the next piece of this Gemara, about what happens if they both don't want to take the shvua. Both the Nidva, the defendant, says, I don't want to take the shvua, you know, you take the shvua and you can keep your money. And the Tovea, the claimant, says, you know what, you take the shvua and be patur. Then who do we force, who do we ask to take the shvua in that case? Are we allowed to present it onto one of the parties and say, you must take the shvua? And if they don't take the shvua, if it's the claimant, then he won't get his money, or if it's the defendant, he will not be patur. So there the Gaonim discuss of whose obligation, or who does it really, who do we force to take the shvua in the end, and who loses out if there is no shvua taken when both parties don't want to take the shvua. So now the Gemara says, okay, Ulamar bar Ravashi. According to Maravashi, Dama b'daraita nami mafchin in shvua. According to Maravashi, who says, also in a Torah shvua, we allow you to flip it, meaning we allow you to push it onto the other party. Ma'ika ben daraita l'rabanon. What's the difference between a shvua min haTorah, modem mixat, and shvua d'rabanon, shvua d'aseit? So the Gemara says, Ika benayu mechat l'nechsei. The difference between them is whether we allow you to go down to the property, meaning whether Beis Din enters the property of the individual to collect. If he refuses, if the defendant refuses to take the shvua in this instance, whoever it is that owes the money refuses to take the shvua, then do we go and actually take his property? Do we go and make a claim against the property? So what's the difference? Bidoraita, when it comes to doraita, shvua nachdin nechsei. Either you pay, or you take a shvua and you're patur. If you don't take the shvua and take a patur, we're going to come and take that obligation out of your property. Bidrabanon, when it's a shvua, derabanon, no nachtin anechsei. If he refuses to take the shvua, we do not enter his property. We don't enter his property. We don't take the property away from him in that instance. What we do instead is that we put him into a shamta, we put him in nidui, we try to extract him or force him into a position where he wants to pay the money, but we do not go and physically take the property away from him. Ooh, the Rabbi Yossi, the Amar b'derabanan nami nachdin anechsei. And according to Rabbi Yossi, who says it also in dinei derabanan, or in a shvua derabanan, we do, when he refuses to take a shvua derabanan, we enter his property and take the property, then what's the difference between them? Ditznan, we have a Mishnah that shows us that that's the case by Rabbi Yossi. Mitziat chereshotev katan, when it comes to an item, an avedah that was found by a chereshotev katan, who are not really bnei dat, yesh behem gezel mipnei darchei shalom. The Mishnah, the Tanakhama, says that you may not steal from them, you may not take it away from them because of Darchei Shalom. Right? There is no Gezel because they really don't have a Kinyan, they're not Bar Dat. But nevertheless, we don't want to, because of Darchei Shalom, we don't want people grabbing things away from them. We want to ensure that there's some sort of order. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Gezel Gamur, that it's full-fledged theft to take it away from them. Now, it's theft midrabanan, it's gezel midrabanan to take it away from them, but we still call it their gezel. That it's gezel gamur midrabanan. The ma'inif kamino. What's the difference whether it's darche shalom or it's gezel midivrehem? So the Mar says, it's daf kamino lotzio b'dayanim. Question is whether the dayanim can go take the money from him. So now you see, based on that, that Rabbi Yossi believes that it was gezel midivrehem, we do go down into the property and we take it. Do you see, even in a din d'rabbanon, that we do enter the property and take away the property. Now what's interesting is that the Rabbanon don't necessarily disagree with that position of Rabbi Yossi. They only disagree that in this case it's darche shalom and not gezel midivrehem. But they don't disagree with the fact that if it was gezel midivrehem, that you would be allowed to enter the property. And Tosus points this out, that it's not clear that the Rabbanon would necessarily disagree with this position of Rabbi Yossi. But nevertheless, if we say that Rabbi Yossi holds that you also enter the property to take away when there is a shvua de rabbanon, then what's the nafkamina? What's the difference between shvua de oraita b'shvua de rabbanon? So it says, ikibenayu shekenegdo chashur al shvua. This is what we mentioned before, that when it comes to flipping the shvua, there's one instance, which is the first case we said before, mabchina shvua, is because he makes a request to flip the shvua, where he says, you please take the shvua in order to take the money, and I won't take a shvua. The other is where he's chashur al shvua. A person is chashur al shvua. He's unable to take the shvua, not because he doesn't want to, but because we don't believe him. So in that instance, we flip the shvua on the other party. We say, look, he can't take it because he's not believed. So what we want to do is we're going to flip it onto the other party. So bido raita, when it comes to a shvua do raita, shekenegdo chashur ala shvua, and the party, right, who is supposed to take the shvua is chashud, abchinan le shvua. Right, we said it, we take the shvua, we flip it, and we place it on the other party. So if the claimant comes, and it's a case of modu b'miksat, but the problem is that this individual's modu b'miksat is not ne'man b'shvua, then we flip it back onto the tovei and say, you take the shvua and take the money, because he can't take the shvua. Why do we want that? So some of the Rishonim discuss the fact that if we don't have that, if we don't flip the shvua, then anybody who is not believed, anybody who is not ne'man b'shvua, people will then make up claims against them. They'll just make up claims, bring them to court, and then they'll say, look, you know, you owe me this and this and this, and then they'll deny it, and they can't take the shvua. So we're afraid if they can't take the shvua, that people make these claims, and then they'll never be able to get out of this. So we established that the kenegdo, we flip the shvua on kenegdo in order to protect this from happening. We say, if you want to be the claimant, and you want to take money from them, you're going to have to take a shvua. Bidrabonon. But when it comes to a shvua derabonon takantuhi, a shvua derabonon is already a takana. Vitakanta le takanta lo avdinan. And we don't make a takana on top of a takana. Meaning that if you already created shvua derabanan, which is already a takana, right, to protect in this case or to force the individual to take a shvua tesait in this instance, then we're not going to say flip that shvua onto the other party as well, another enactment derabanan to protect, because we don't make a derabanan to a derabanan, because that would be a second derivative derabanan, which we wouldn't do. So when it comes to a shvua, all right, we have the din derabanan to flip the shvua by chashud onto the other party. When it comes to a shvua derabanan, the whole thing is already a takana derabanan. So if it doesn't work out, fine, so the takana's not there, but we don't say add another takana on top of that and then flip it onto the other party. So now we have, again, in this case, we have three possibilities of what the difference between shvua d'oraita and shvua d'rabbanan is. The first one is mapchinan, whether you can make, the defendant can make a claim or force the claimant to ask for the shvua to be taken, meaning that he says, I don't want to take it, you, the claimant, take it. That was the one nafkamino. The second nafkamino was nachtina nichsei, whether the possibility of whether you can enter the property to make a, if the person refuses to take the shvua, can you go into their property and take the obligation or the claim away? And the third one, which you just mentioned here, is shenegdo chashud al shvua. The one who has to take the shvua is unable to because he's not neman. We have questions as to the nemanut or the believability of his shvua, and therefore we have to whether we flip the shvua. So in all of these cases, when it comes to meipach b'shvua, we only do that derabonon, but not in doraita. When it comes to nachtina nechsei, that's only in a shvua doraita, not a shvua derabonon. And when it comes to shenegdo chashud al shvua, there only be doraita do we flip it, whereas when it's a shvua derabonon, we don't flip it because then it's a rabonon derabonon. So these are the three differences. Again, they could all be true, or depending on how we paskin, may not all be true. So now, first thing is that Rashi actually mentions the Gemara in Ketubot, and that Gemara that we just mentioned earlier, that over there when the Moraim says, you know, I would, if you were smart, he would bring him to a Shvud or Rait, or she would bring her to a Shvud or Rait. That's talking about Ketubot over there. So Rashi over there gives a nafkamina bin a Shvud or Rait of a Shvud or Rabbanon. And Rashi over there says that the nafkamina is whether you have to take a Shvua with a Chayfetz or not. You have to have a Chayfetz or Shom Mitzvah in your hand when you take the Shvua. Tosfos quotes that Rashi over here, and he says, well, I don't know. I don't think it's right, because look over here. We see in our Gemara here, the Gemara is searching for a difference between Doraita and Rabbanan, and that would seem like an obvious one to bring down. The fact that the Gemara does not entertain that as a difference shows me that those are not different. And therefore, I don't think that Rashi is correct in assuming that a Shvuah d'Rabbanan does not require a Chepsa Shel Mitzvah. The next Tosfos discusses actually the Psak Halacha when it comes to Mar Bar Ravashi. When it comes to Mar Bar Ravashi, who said before that Bidoraita Naminim of Chinan Shua, that even by a Din Doraita, Shua Doraita, we allow the party or the defendant to flip the Shua onto the claimant. So there is a machlokas about who do we paskin. Do we paskin like Mar Bar Ravashi, or we do not paskin like Mar Bar Ravashi? So Tosfos brings it over here. Rivan Perish, B'shem Akuntris, B'shem Rashi, Teuchat El Kavate, the Loch is like Mar Ravashi, the Kaimelon Ka Mar Bar Ravashi, B'meipach Shua, because we hold like him when it comes to Meipach Shua. B'chem B'chuvat Rabbeinu Gershom, Ameor HaGola, that's in the Yitzhuvas, you can see them if you look up, the Shut Rabbeinu Gershom, he has the same statement. V'chein Rav Haigon, also Rav Haigon, his Juvot says the same thing, that when it comes to Mar Bar Ravashi, we mapchinan. So if you're looking for a nafkamina now between a Dorait Shua Dorait and Shua Dorabonon, so that would really depend. If you hold like Mar Bar Ravashi, so it's not like Rashi said before, the Chayfetz, whether you have to have the Shua of the Chayfetz, because we just saw that our Gemara doesn't mention that. Number two, it can't be about mapchinan, because Mar Bar Ravashi holds mapchinan. So only things that are left is Nachtinan Nechseh, whether we go down and take the obligation of this property, or whether Kshenegdo Chashol HaShvua, maybe in that instance there'll be a difference in the Rif, and the Tshuva Zarif mentions that there's really no difference between a Shvua D'Rabbanan and Shvua D'Raisa. They must seem identical except for this one issue, Nachtinan Nechseh. Later on, Tosfos mentions Miu Hagonim Nechelku LeKamei Yamar LeYishtabali DeLo Pratich Im Yachol Idach LaGzor VeLo Yishtabadi At V'Tipader. That if a person says where he has a right to demand a Shvua before the person takes, there's certain Shvua D'Rabbanan where he says, listen, take this Shvua before or Shvua, even if Shvua d'Oraisa, where he says you have to take a Shvua, if the other person goes, say back to him, no, you take the Shvua and be patur, whether he's allowed to flip it on him or not. And there is a machlokas agoinim over there, whether you're allowed to flip it in that instance. Then Tosfos brings down in the final stage, he says, look, there are others. Rabbi Enu Yitzchak, Matzah b'tshuvat kod moniot, Rabbi Yitzchak found an earlier tshuvot, d'lo mapchina Shvua d'Oraisa, we do not flip a Shvua d'Oraisa, v'chein bahag, that's what the Baal Gelochot Gadolot says, u'b'seder t'naim v'armim, t'hilchasa k'mar b'ravashi b'kulei shas. You're right. L'ochasa k'mar b'ravashi when it comes to chol gemoro. Except Barmi Mepach Shua Veodaita. That there are two exceptions to that halacha, and this is one of them. Mepach Shua is one of the exceptions where we don't paskin like Mar Bar Ravashi. So therefore, you have over here that a machlokes between the Geonim and then into the Rishonim about whether we hold like Mar Bar Ravashi or we do not hold like Mar Bar Ravashi. And based on that, that will either narrow or widen slightly the differences between Shvua d'Oraita and Shvua d'Rabbanan. But in essence, the Shvua d'Oraita and the Shvua d'Rabbanan are almost identical over here. So now the Gemara says, now what about the Rabbanan of the Pligi Alei Rabbi Yossi? The Rabbanon who argue Rabbi Yossi, Damru b'Rabbanon lo nachtinan nechsei, that they believe when it comes to a din d'Rabbanon or a shvua d'Rabbanon, we do not go and take his property. Ma'av dinan lei. What do we do to him? So this we mentioned before, Misham tinan lei, we put him into a nidui. Put him into a nidui in order to allow us to collect or force him into collecting it. So Amalei Ravina le Ravashi, you put him into shamto, hai nakte b'kovsei, the nishpeke l'glimehu. Listen, there are certain things where you put a person under duress where he's going to have to act. I mean, there's no difference between going down into his property and taking the money and putting him into shamta, putting him into nidui until he pays up. That putting him into nidui is of such gravity and severity that he's going to have to acquiesce to paying over here. So there's really no nafkamina, there's no difference between them. And Rashi says over here, it's a this term of nakte the kobse the shavke the glimehu is a term that's used also in the Gemara in Baba Metzia and Kufalf in Baba Metzia. The Rashi says, Ochso bebeitzav hatluyim bo ad shiten lo talit shalav. He grabs him by his Aver, by his private parts, and he squeezes them until he gives up his jacket. Meaning that he has him in a position where he has to pay. He has no choice. So that's what he's saying to him. If you put him into Shamto, how is that any different than going down and taking the property? You're putting him into such a position where he's going to have to pay. If he's going to have to pay, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, no. Elamai of Dinanle. So what do you suggest? What do we do here? Amale, Misham Tinanle, Ad Matizman Nagdei, Ad Mizman Nagdei. Minagdinanle, Misham Kinanle. Now we put him into Shamto until he's got a scheduled day in Beis Din. It's 30 days later. We say you have to pay up. After 30 days, he doesn't pay, we give him Malkot. It's Malkot Rabbanan for not acquiescing or not listening to the Rabbanan. So we only put him in Shamta. It's not a permanent Shamta. It's just a Shamta for those 30 days until he comes to Bezin and gets what he's supposed to get. I mean, that he'll get the Malkot, the Malkot Mardut, Malkot Midrabbanan, and then the Shamta will go away. or right, he acquiesces and pays before that, and he won't get the malkot. So over there, it's not as severe as we thought at first, which is a permanent shamto. He's put into permanent nidui until he pays up, which would have been, according to the Gemara, similar or exact same as taking the money from him because he has no choice here. But rather, it's a case where we only put him to shamto for the 30 days until we carry out the punishment of Beit Din. And at that point in time, if we carry out the punishment, that's it. Then we leave him go. So there is a difference now, or a significant difference, between whether we go into his property and take it versus we put him into shamto. Amara Papa. Hai man da opik shtara al chavrei. So the person takes out a shtar on his friend, Varmalei shtara paruahu. So he says, listen, you know, yes, you have a shtar, but it's already paid. So Amrin Anle, we say to him, lav kol kominach. Right? You, what right do you have here to be pogeya or pogame in the shtar? Meaning, Rapapa says that if a person shows up with a shtar, you basically have a claim, shtar chob abiyodi maboy. Why do I have this shtar in my hand? If the fact that I have the shtar in my hand means that you owe me the money. So when you come along and say, oh, it's already paid, we don't necessarily believe you because we have overwhelming evidence to the other side, which is that you do owe the money. So therefore we say to him, Amrina, lavko kol minach, that you don't have such a right in this instance. Zil, shlim, go and pay. Bim amar lishtabali. If the individual here, who is the defendant in this case, says to the claimant, swear to me, Amrina lishtabali, then we say to him, go ahead and take a shvua. Meaning that we say to him, yet you're obligated to take a shvua, you have to be mepis dato, because he says that it's parua. So eno chanami, that you have meikar adin, you have the right to collect over here because you have the ishtar. But the rabbonon wanted to make it so that you could be mepis dato for no real extra cost. You can make him happy. So we say to him, go ahead, take the shvua. And if you take the shvua, then you can come and collect. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, that basically ishtar is the trump card, it's the ace. If you bring the shtar, you really owe the money. But in order to prevent some awkward situations where sometimes the defendant forgot to take the shtar back when he paid or wasn't with him, he said, defers him for a couple of days, we say to him, you know, listen, go ahead and take a shvua just to prove the fact, or prove this, that you actually are taking the money and everybody's happy over here. So he asked Rav Ashi, what's the difference between our case over here of Rav Papa and a case of Pogrei Mitzhtaro? By Pogrei Mitzhtaro, this is someone, the classic case of Ketubah and Almanah, who's coming to collect a Ketubah. And over there, she says, yes, I'm coming to collect my ketubah, here is the ketubah, but yes, you're right, so a portion of it was already paid. So she agrees that there is, some of it was paid back, but she's coming to make a claim on the remainder of there, of the shtar. So there, we say to her, take a shvu'ah in order to collect the remainder. And that's the same thing with a baal chov. Someone's a creditor, and he has a shtar. And then, after he comes up to court, he says, yes, he owes me the money, but he has paid back a portion of it. We say to him, take a shvua in order to collect on the shtar. So Mara wants to know, what's the difference between Rav Papa and the case of Pogrei Mitzhtaro? Both of those cases, we tell the claimant, take a shvua in order to collect the money. Now, there is a difference between them, because once a person is Pogrei Mitzhtaro, a case where a person admits that a portion of the shtar was repaid, then he is Marele Chazakeh. He takes down his chazakah. I mean, when he's just there with the shtar and he's collecting the full amount, then he has a very strong claim. If he already agrees that the shtar is not completely true because some of it was paid back already, then he's already raised questions as to the shtar, and therefore the chazakah is diminished. So we want to know, what's the difference between Pogrei Mitzhtaro, where the claimant has to take a shvua, and a case over here that Rav Papa says when you show up with a shtar without any Pogrei Mitzhtaro, and the claimant has to take a shvua. So he says, Amar Lei Otam, Afagav Delo Tayin Ihu. Even though, in the case of Pogrei Mitzhtaro, even though the defendant does not require or ask the claimant to take a shvua, Tayinin Lei Anon, we are Tawain on his behalf. We say, if you're Pogrei Mitzhtaro and the chazakah is somewhat compromised from the shtar, we want you to take a shvua before you walk out of here and collect money. That we demand, the Beis Din demands it, even if the defendant doesn't demand it. On the other hand, Hocha, in our case over here, Rav Papa, Amrinan Lei Zil Shlimle, we say to the defendant, go pay. He has a shtar, you go pay. Vitain, if he himself, the defendant, speaks up, Amrei Shtabali, then he says, you take a shvua, you, the claimant, take a shvua that I didn't repay it, Amrinan Lei Zil Shtabali. Then we, as the court, enforce his request. Right, so, but if he does not ask for it, we do not do it on his behalf. We do not make the claim on his behalf. So again, because of the level of chazakah, where the shtar, there's no questions arise about the veracity of the shtar, therefore over there we say, you know, you gotta pay. Unless he specifically asks for it, like Rav Papa says, he specifically asks for a shvua to be taken. On the other hand, when it comes to a case of Pogrei Mitzhtaro, over there, the chazakah is not so strong because the shtar is somewhat compromised. So over there, we don't see, even if the defendant, even Beis Din themselves, will ask him to take a shvua in order to ensure that we get to the right conclusion over here. And the Gemara then says, "V'itzumri the rabbanu v'ziyan tamu chacham ho lo mishbinin le." We don't ask him to take a shvuah over here. So over here, where we do this mapchina, where we flip the shvuah to the other party, we don't want to make that demand when it is a Talmud chacham. So Gemara says, "Emalei Rabbi Yemer the Ravashi, itzumri rabbanu mishaleich glimei dinshe." What is this that the Talmud chacham can go and just rip people's clothes off? He can go and take whatever he wants. I mean, why doesn't he have to take a shvuah over here? If the requirement min a din is to take a shvuah, the Talmud chacham should be required to take a shvuah as well. Ella lo mizdakina le the dine. We don't address this din. I mean, Rashi claims over here that means that in this instance, we don't allow him to take a shvuah because it looks like we don't believe him. The fact that we're asking the claimant to take a shvuah is because we're suspectful or we're suspicious of the fact that he's making a claim here without the proper evidence or the proper framework. And therefore, when we go and ask him for a shvuah, it looks like we're suspicious of him. So that suspicion is what drives the shvuah. So we don't want to do that because it makes it look bad, like we don't believe the Talmud Chacham. So instead, what Rashi says is he can't take the shvuah. And since he can't take the shvuah, he can't get his money. That's it. We don't deal with a case like this. And since we don't deal with a case like this, the Talmud Chacham can't get his money. On the other hand, the Tosfos HaRosh says, no, that we just don't ask the Talmud Chacham to take a shvuah. And if he decides then at this point to go and take the money, if he takes it without the shvuah, he's nachtina and he takes it without the shvuah, fine. And if he wants to take the shvuah, he can do and take the shvuah and get his money. Man, he has a choice. He can take the shvuah or not take the shvuah. According to Rashi, he's not allowed to take the shvuah because it looks like we're suspicious of him, and therefore we do not permit him to take the shvuah. On the other hand here, the Tosfos HaRosh says it's really optional. It's optional if the chacham wants to take it or not take it in this instance. All right. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Malvet chevero beidim. Person who lends his friend money with edim, with witnesses, tzarich liforo be'edim. He has to repay him with edim. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when he said this in front of Shmuel, amrili, yacholu marlo praticha bifnei ploni ploni, b'chul ha'am l'midinat ha'yam. So he shows up in court, he says, I paid you in front of Reuven and Shimon, and they're traveling overseas now, but I did pay you back in front of edim. So Tnan, our Mishnah says, Mana libi adecha, you have 100 mizuz. Amarlo hein, he says, yes. The machar amarlo tneoli, the next day he says to him, give it to me. He says, Natatich lecha, I already gave it to you, patur. There is patur. V'acha, kevin de tav e be'edim. Here, since he made a claim from him with edim, commandos ve be'edim dami. It's as if he lent him the money with edim, because the day before he came and asked him for a claim, he says, listen, you know, you owe me money. And he admits to it. The only reason we know he admits to it is because there were edim there. So his admission of owing the money is the equivalent of lending him the money with edim. And yet, the Mishnah says, right, edim, and then it says, commandos with edim, v'ktani patur. It says that when he says, I repaid him, patur, we don't require him to bring edim. We don't require that he's porea b'edim. So how you, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, how do you make this statement? Our Mishnah sounds like the opposite. Our Mishnah doesn't sound like what you're saying. So Gemara says, tuv de Rav Asi. It's a very strong question against Rav Asi. No. My statement, when I say where he lends with Edim, he must repay with Edim, that's only if the loan was initiated with Edim. Because when he initiated the loan with Edim, it makes it clear that he never trusted him. But in this case, where he only goes to make the claim from him in front of Edim, and Edim are there, that means that's a new entry into the case. That's a new situation. He believed him until this point in time. The fact that he lent the money in the first place without Edim shows us that he does believe him. So now, all of a sudden, you're going to change that. He's no longer Neman. That you can't change in the middle of the loan. So if you do it at the outset of the loan, you say you bring in the loan, you do it in front of Edim, that's a clear indication that you don't believe this individual. And since you don't believe this individual, when he repays it, he also must repay it, right, with Edim. On the other hand, if after the loan is already outstanding, you come and ask him to repay it in front of Edim, and he admits that he owes the money in front of Edim, that does not create, or that does not generate a requirement to have the loan repaid with Edim, because you originally lent him the money without Edim. That means that you trusted him. If you trust him, then he should be able to repay without Edim. So that's the position of Rav Asi, or how he explains our Mishnah. Rav Yosef Matnei Hochi. Rav Yosef learned this way. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Hamalvet Chevro Beidim, Eino Tzarich Lefaro Beidim. The exact opposite. Rav Yosef has this statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi being exactly the opposite, which is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi. Now Rav Yosef has it as Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi being Hamalvet Chevro Beidim, Eino Tzarich Lefaro Beidim. He does not have to repay it with Eidim. V'im Amar. But if he specifies at the time of the loan, do not repay me except with Edim, tzarich lefaro be'edim, that becomes a condition of the loan. And since that's a condition of the loan, if he doesn't repay with Edim, then the loan is not classified as being repaid. Then he hasn't repaid what he was required to repay over here. So now the Gemara says, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, after he says in front of Shmuel, Amar li, Yacholu Marlo, the same thing that he said to Rav Asi, Praticha Bifnei Ploni Uploni, says, look, you could say, I paid him back before so-and-so, and they're not here anymore. I did pay you back with Eidim, but those individuals are not here anymore. It's not. We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Mane libi adecha, you owe me 100 zuz. Amar lo, hey. He says, yes, I do owe you 100 zuz. Amar lo, al tinei oli yel bifnei Eidim. He says, don't give it to me except in front of Eidim. The mchar amar lo tinei oli. And then the next day he says, give it to me. He says, netativ lecha, I gave it to you, he's chayav. He's chayav, why? Mipnei shu tzarech liten lo be'edim. It's because he has to give him with Eidim. So that sounds exactly like this position of Amar Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yosef, which is that when he makes a demand, and the condition is that you must repay with Eidim, and then he doesn't repay with Eidim, he's chayav. And not like Shmuel's question, which says, oh, you can just say, I gave it to the Eidim, and they're overseas now. That he can't make that claim. That's not what it sounds like from the Mishnah. The Mishnah sounds like the claim or the statement or the position that Rav Asi takes, according to Rav Yosef, is true. So it says, Tiyuv to the Shmuel. It's a very strong question against Shmuel, this part of the Mishnah. So Amachos Shmuel, Tanayi. Turns out it's a Machokas Tanayim, Detanya. Beidim hilvi ticha, beidim parali. I lent you with Eidim, repay me with Eidim. O, itain, o yavi rayash natan. Or he gives it in front of Eidim, or he brings a proof that he did it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira omer yachol omar lo praticha bifnei ploni ploni b'achulam midinat hayam. Exactly the claim of Shmuel. You can just say, I paid you back in front of Eidim, they're just not here anymore. So I did it. I kept my part of the bargain, and it's done. So b'achulam. So therefore, I don't know, you're right. I don't fit into this Mishnah, Shmuel says, because this Mishnah is like the Tanna Kamma. But I hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira says that if you say that I paid it back to the Eidim and they're just not here anymore, then he's believed. Parich Rav Acha mimai d'bishat halvokoi. Rav Acha asked on this, wait a minute. How do we know that we're talking about shat halva? Dilma b'shat viakoi. That how do we know that in that case, that the case that you brought from the Braita is a case where he did it at the time of the origination of the loan. So how do you know that Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira really holds, right, that when it comes to origination of a loan, where you say or make a demand for it to be paid by Eidim, you have such a claim like Shmuel says, the claim that you can say, I gave it back to Eidim, they're just not present anymore. How do we know, how do we know that's the case in the Braita? Right, that's not necessarily true because Dilma b'shat tviyakoi. Maybe the Braita there, the Machlokes in Rav Yehuda ben Teira comes, is a case where it's at the time that he comes and makes a claim. He comes back to him after the loan is already outstanding, says, "Please pay me my money back." And he's making a claim. He says, "You owe me money." At that point in time, right? This is what he says: "La beidim ivilticha. Didn't I lend you the money with Eidim? Beidim ayala chalu farani, and you should have replayed the money with Eidim." Aval b'shat alva'ah. If it was at the time of va'ah, he makes that stipulation. Divrei kol chayav. So maybe it would be, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, maybe would agree in the case, if the stipulation was made at the time of the loan, maybe even he would agree that you have to repay it with Eidim, not like the Din of Shmuel. The only reason that he is makel over here is because the stipulation was only put into place at the time when he is asking, when he's Toveh, when he comes and makes the claim. He says to me, you owe me money. And at that point in time, he says, listen, you remember I lent you with Eidim. And since I lent you with Eidim, you have to repay me with Eidim. But we know that Rabbi Shmuel bar Asi says that's not the case. In that case, you're patur. It's only where it was originated. So maybe that's where Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira says, you enter this stipulation in the middle of the loan, then it's not binding. On the other hand, if it was at the beginning of the loan, he wouldn't agree. At the beginning of the loan, if you make that stipulation, I agree to the Chachamim, and in that case, you would have to repay with Eidim. So that's not necessarily a proof to Shmuel. Amar Rav Papi, Mishmei de Rava. Papi says the name of Rava Yochata, Amal Ve'et Chaveru Be'edim, Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim. Person who lends his friend money with Eidim, Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim, he has to repay it with Eidim. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Amar. On the other hand, Rav Papa says the name of Rava, Amal Ve'et Chaveru Be'edim, Ein Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim. He doesn't have to repay with Eidim. V'amar, Al Tifreini El Be'edim, Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim. If he says, don't repay it except with Eidim, then he has to pay it back with Eidim. V'amar Amar Lo Praticha Bifnei Ploni Ploni. If he says that I paid you back in front of so-and-so, V'chulam Neminet Hayam, Neman. Over here, it's actually a machlokus in the girsa, whether we say neman, that he's believed, like Shmuel, or lo neman, right? That he's not believed in this case, or enu neman, in this case, he's not believed, and against Shmuel. And you can see that in the Rach. The Rach has such a girsa of enu neman and not neman. So it turns out, in the end, we see there's a machlokus Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Rav Papi is quoting the first memra of Rehuda Amar Rav Asi. Rav Papa is quoting the memra according to Rav Yosef. And then, with regards to the din of Shmuel, right, it's not clear here what the committee, depending on what the gear says, whether it's Neman or low Neman, that will be dependent on whether we think that the din is like Shmuel. And over here, the Tosa says, Rapopish made the rub, Amar ain't directly for Beidim, Amar Tano, can alocha. That's the alocha. The alocha is that you do not have to repay with Eidim. Even if you lent, right, in front of Eidim, you do not have to repay with Eidim. Elaim can, you specify or you stipulated it at the time of the loan. Now, if you stipulate it, the question is, then, I paid you before so-and-so, they're not here, whether he's believed or not, that remains a question, that remains an open issue. Now, the Gemara, we're going to see in a second now a whole bunch of cases like this. But what the Gemara is clearly grappling with is how do we ensure that a person gets repaid money? In order for someone to lay out or lend out money, the only way he's going to lend money is if he knows in the end he's going to get his money back. So how do we ensure, right, that the money is repaid? So there are different vehicles for that. One of the vehicles we're trying out, the Gemara here you can see is playing around with different ways or different vehicles. There's one is at the Edim. We have this vehicle of Edim, and if you lend with Edim, he'll have to repay with the Edim. That's a protection for you. That way you ensure that you get your money back. Then the Shmuel comes along and says, well, that's not really a good protection because he can just say, I paid you back from Edim and they're not here. So that doesn't really provide a protection or doesn't ensure that the lender will get his money back. So what's the other solution? The other solution is actually on the previous Amud, something that we said before, and that's the solution of the shtar. But the solution of the shtar is, right, that if he shows up with the shtar, then the other person can't say, I paid you back already. The fact that he has a shtar is like a trump card, an ace, that he can say, you owe me the money, and you have to pay me back. So that might be the next stage. I mean, chronologically, these Gemaras might be out of order. The Gemara first might be entertaining this whole idea of Edim being the solution to the problem. How do we ensure that people who lend money will actually get their money back? And the defendant won't always just say, I paid you already or I paid you back. So we try to use Edim, but Shmuel comes and undermines that whole idea of the Edim being the protection over here. I'm going to see further cases where we see the undermining of this whole concept. So in the end, the solution to the whole problem is, might be what the Gemara is out of order, but the solution to the whole problem might be the shtar. And by the shtar, you have the trump card. And who was the Bala member over there? Was Amar Rav Papa. Hai mon da apik shtar al chavei. That one who takes out a shtar. So Rav Papa over here, who paskins halacha, like the din of Rav Yosef, that if you pay with Edim, you don't have to repay with Edim. And it seems possibly that he paskins like Shmuel, that the Edim aren't a good solution. In the end, he says, I'll tell you what the solution. And the solution in the end is a shtar. And that's how you have that protection. The shtar is the way to protect or ensure that the lender gets his money back. And the other party can't just make a claim that he's already repaid it. So now, we have a couple of cases here. What's the case? Hahu damrei lechavrei. One who says to his friend, Ki paratin, parlin li be'apei Reuven and Shimon. When you repay me, you must repay me in front of these two Edim. And he specifies Reuven and Shimon. Azo parei be'apei trei ba'alma. He goes in and repays them in front of two others, right? So now, Amar Abaye, Ba'apei trei parei. He says, pay me in front of Edim. And he ended up paying him in front of Edim. So Amalei Rav Rav says, no, the Hachi Kamalei Ba'apei Reuven and Shimon. No, the reason he said to do it in front of Shimon, Keichelo Nidchei, so that he won't push him away. So he won't say, oh, they're Medina Sayyam. He can't make up information about it. So no, the fact that he demanded specific Edim means that he wants it in front of these Edim. Now Rashi claims he believes the Edim that he chose. He doesn't believe the other Edim. Now truthfully, and that's what Tosfos raises over here, what right does he have not to believe Edim? Edim have Nemanut min HaTorah, and he doesn't have a right not to believe Edim. So Tosfos suggests over here that he thinks that the Reis says, Mayer Damar Perticha Ba'apei Sadeh, Bachulem Medina Tayyam. That no, that the claim that he makes over here is that I do have Edim, and but the Edim now are in Medina Tayyam. Not like Rashi says, I don't believe these other Edim. Yeah, true, you gave it in front of these Edim, but I don't believe these Edim. Right? Tosfos says, what right do you have to make such a claim? And we're going to see in the Gemara further on, that doesn't sound like that. So the answer is no, that Tosfos or the Reis suggests that the two Edim here, he said, I paid in front of Edim, but they're not present. Rava says that's exactly the problem we're trying to prevent. We're trying to prevent this problem where he says Medina Tayyam. That's why he picked Reuven and Shimon. On the other hand, the Bai says he asked for Edim, he got Edim. What else could he ask for in this situation? Next case. Hahu, damar le lechavrei ki parati li parlin be'api be'trei. The Tanu Hilchota. That when you repay the money to me, you must repay it to me in front of two Tamidei Chachamim. Azo parei ben dilei lidilei. He ended up repaying him without it being in front of two Tamidei Chachamim. It nisu hanach zuzei. In the interim, when they were with, after the monies were already returned to the lender, that money was taken, it was stolen, something happened to the money. Ata the kamei de Rav Nachman, they came, they brought the case before Rav Nachman, Amalei, in. The lender says, you know what? Kibule kabtinu, I got the money back, meaning I accepted it for him, but derech pikadon. It wasn't repayment alone, because I said for repayment alone to be there, you need to have these two witnesses that are Tamid Chachamim, and that wasn't present. V'amina lehave gabai pikadon, they'll remain with me at pikadon, ad dimitrami beitrei, until we find these two Tachamirim, or until you complete that part of the Tanai. The Tanu Hilchot Mekayim Tanei, until he finds two Tamid Chachamim to be witnesses, and then the Tanai will be over. Says, yes, I received the money, but I didn't receive the money as repayment alone, I received the money as being a pikadon. And if I'm a Shomer Chinam, then I'm patur for Onsin, and he still owes me the money. On the other hand, if we say no, that it was a repayment of the loan, then it's the lender's problem that the money was taken. Samalei. So Rav Nachman responded to him, Kevin to Kamodit, the Vadai Shal Ktinu Mine. Piron Mal Yavis, since you totally agree that you took the money from him, that has to be repayment of the loan. Vi Amart the Kumietane, and if you want to say complete the Tanai, Zil Aitinu Daha, Ano v'Rav Sheshes, go bring that guy, and you have me and Rav Sheshes here. The Tanina, Hilchata, V'Sifra, V'Sifri, V'Tosefta, V'Kula Gemara. That we have learned. We're talking about the Chachamim. We fulfill any stipulation that you made. That we learned halachos, the Sifra and the Sifri, the Midrash halacha on the right Vayikra and on Bamidbar and Devarim and the Tosefta, V'Kula Gemara and all the Gemara. We're talking about the Chachamim. So if you need that, we can fulfill the Tanai. Now Tosa says he said this really as a biduchuta. He doesn't really have to mikayim the Tanai. He doesn't have to keep the Tanai. So that's why he was saying it to him over here. Rashi says, why is it that we do not believe him that he took it as a pikadon? Because Rashi says, if you look, it came in the kamodi to kabelino, v'zeh lo b'tarat pikadon mesrem lecha. The borrower who gave you the money didn't hand them to you as a pikadon. So have your own, therefore it's a repayment alone. V'dvarim sheyu b'libcha inam dvarim. And whatever you were thinking doesn't have any impact on the case. Doesn't matter that you thought that you were getting them as a pikadon, because your dvarim shalev inam dvarim. So the fact that you thought it's a pikadon, if he thinks he's paying you back, you can't change his money from a pikadon, from a repayment to a pikadon. You don't have that right. And then the Rabbi Kiva Eger questions Rashi and says, wait, even if we say dvarim shbelev dvarim, even if we say that what's in your heart is a dvar, meaning that even if you can make such a stipulation, and dvarim shbelev dvarim, it still won't work. Because how can you unilaterally decide that this is a repayment of is a pikadon and not a repayment of the loan? You have to inform the other party of this. And in fact, that you didn't inform the other party, it doesn't matter what you're thinking, whether it works, the Dvarim Shebelev work or don't work. So the Gilyan Shas, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, asks on Rashi, why does it matter whether it's Dvarim Shebelev Dvarim or Einam Dvarim? Irrespective of what the position is over here, it won't work because you can't unilaterally decide what the Pikadon is. Right now, next case. Give me back the 100 zuz that I lent you. Says, never happened. He brings in witnesses that he had actually borrowed the money and he repaid it. So Rabbi, my neighbor, what can we do here? Inu amrei osfei, inu amrei parei. The same edim that said he borrowed the money also say that he repaid the money, so he shouldn't have to pay anything. It should be over. Rav Amar, no, Rav says, kol omer lo leviti, komar lo parati tami. Anybody who says I never borrowed money, obviously he never repaid the money. If he said he didn't borrow it, means that he didn't repay it. So when it comes to the edim saying that he borrowed money, we believe those edim. When it comes to the fact that the edim say he repaid them, hodat beit baldin kamei edim dami. He's saying I didn't repay it, because he says it never happened. If it didn't happen, he's saying I also didn't repay it. So now we have him against edim, we're going to believe him. Hodat baldin kamei edim dami, and now you have to pay. So we believe the edim that there was a loan. That makes him to chukzak kafran, because he was chukzak kafran, or because he says lo devite means lo parati. At this point in time, he's left with the point where he's going to have to repay. He's going to have to pay it again. Ha'u damar le lechavrei havli mea zuzei damasikna b'cha. Person come and repay me the 100 zuz you owe me. Amar le lo praticha b'fnei ploni ploni. So then I pay you in front of these witnesses. Atu ploni ploni. The witnesses show up. Amar le lo yudvarei me'olam. That never happened. Sober reshesh the meimar chukzak kafran. Reshesh thinks that he's a chukzak kafran here. He said I paid in front of the edim. The edim come and they don't verify or they don't uphold the veracity of his statement. So if the edim didn't witness this, that he claimed witnesses, then he also didn't pay it back. If he didn't pay it back, now he's got to pay. Samarle Rova, Rova again here. Rova's in all these cases is undermining or slugging it up. And he says, kol milta de la ramia le din she lavadate. Something that a person's not required to do, we had this earlier in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Dalet, that something that is a happens to be a sidebar, is not the focus of the individual, he doesn't pay attention to it. So over here, there's no requirement to repay the loan with Edim, because that's what we passed before, that even if you take the loan out with Edim, there's no requirement to repay with Edim. So he just said, you know, I repaid it with Edim. But since he wasn't required to repay with Edim, he didn't focus on really, oh, where the Edim, who were the Edim? He didn't focus so much on that, he just focused that he repaid it. So we believe him with the repayo, but the farce of the Edim, since he wasn't focused on that, we don't think he's a chukzak kafran, we just think that he messed it up, he forgot. So now we have another case. Give me the 600 zuz that you must sikna b'chor that you owe me. Didn't I pay you back 100 kav worth of gallnuts or gall juice? The kaimo b'shita shita that were worth 6 each. Each kav was worth 6 zuz. Therefore, 6 times 100 is 600, and I paid you with this item. And so Rashi points out that these afsay are galls, b'lazim abdin b'henot tarot, to use them for tanning of the skins, for the curing of the skins. So Amalei, he says, la barba abba avukaime. No, they were 4 at the time. So they were 4 at the time, so you only paid me 400 out of the 600. Atu trace adiv amru in. They say, yes, barba abba avukaime. They said they were at 4 at that time. Amarova chuksa kafran. Rabbi says he's chuksa kafran. The fact that he says that they were worth 6, and he lied about the fact that they were 6, or he was twisting the truth with the 6, then we also don't believe him that he repaid it. So Amarami Barchamo Hamart, you just said before, Kol Milta Dlorami Alishe Lamadate. Something that people don't focus on, right, then we don't make a demand on it. So that's what Rava answers. Amale Rava, Kitsuta, Tetara, Migdar, Dechirin, the market price, people remember. People remember what they pay or what they pay for an item. That is something they do remember. So whereas where there's no requirement to repay with Eidim, a person doesn't focus on whether the Eidim were present or who was watching, he thought they were watching, there we don't say Chuzaka from, because that's something he pays the detail they don't pay attention to. And then when it comes to the market price of an item, people are very aware and they pay close attention to this fact. And therefore we can't say if he says 6 and it was really 4, now we have to question the veracity of his entire statement, not just the statement of the 6, but whether he really repaid it, and therefore he would have to repay it. Now again, I'm pointing out this idea that all these problems, and we're going to see later on, we're going to get to the case of Shtar on tomorrow's daf, but this problem is that Eidim don't seem to solve our problem. Just because of the requirement to repay with Eidim, we see a lot of cases here where the defendant can make a claim, and even if the defendant's found to be lying with some things, we still say that he doesn't lose out his nemanut, and he can say, I repaid it. So you have a lot of instances where the lender's going to lend money, and he's going to be afraid of getting his money back because he has no guarantee to get his money back. Even if he stipulates Eidim, if they were done with Eidim, all these things don't protect them. So we need to find a vehicle of protection. So we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, we'll see a little bit more about the shtar. And then again, I reference you back to the beginning of today's daf, where we said that the shtar might be the trump card. I mean, that was a development over time where it seems that originally they were using Eidim, they were trying to come to a solution. The final solution was a shtar, and the idea that a shtar is so powerful, this idea that Rav Papa raises that a shtar is an unquestionable rayo, that it has a chazaka, that chiddush of Rav Papa is what really changes the dynamic or allows the lenders to be secure in lending out the money. Okay, we'll stop over here.